eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's top restaurant and bar podcast, where we dive deep into the local dining and drinking scene. I'm your host, Steve Coombs. I'm flying solo this week because my co-host and business partner, Rick Redding, is on vacation in Denver visiting his son and daughter-in-law. I hope you're resting up, Rick, and not tuning in. You know, of course, you know what's going on anyway, since you're a guy about town now that you have been part of the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast for 45 weeks now. You're learning a lot, my friend, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today and share with our guests, you know, some of what we have done the past week, or certainly what I've done the past week, and enjoying this incredible dining scene here. Before we get to that, I want to touch on our sponsors and thank them for their support, you know, namely the Eye Care Institute. It's your one-stop shop for eye care. Whether you have routine vision issues or need significant correction, such as LASIK, or maybe you suffer with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, or diabetes, the Eye Care Institute is where you want to visit. Its office is located at 1536 Story Avenue in Butchertown. Call to make an appointment at 502-589-1500. And also Harvest, an incredible restaurant in Louisville located in Nulu. Every Thursday is three-course Thursday when Patrick Roney, the chef there, and his crew put together a three-course meal for $30. Tell me where you're going to beat that, people, especially for the food you're going to get. It's located, as I said, in Nulu, and you need to call and make reservations because it's a busy place. Do so at 384-9090, or just make your reservations online the easy way at harvestlouisville.com. 624 East Market. That's what I should have said a moment ago, right? We did a lot this week. St. Patty's Day, well, the celebrations at any rate, started last week with the parade down Baxter Avenue, Bartstown Road segment, kind of where they come together. It's always a great time. It was a bit of a scare, and you know, earlier in the week that people thought it was going to snow, and as the weather forecast changed, not only did it improve that there was no snow or even rain for that matter, but it got a little warmer. It's kind of sunny and a huge turnout. You know, that's always a nice event if you've not done it before. It's family friendly, well, at least when you stay outside of the bars anyway. But it's a great time. I've done it last year was my first time, and I'd hope to do it again. Didn't get a chance to do that because of some work obligations. And I heard it was going to snow and there was going to be cold. I'm just not much on parading when that happens. But at any rate, you know, it's an Irish thing, and that's got me thinking about Irish whiskey, which is something that we don't talk a lot about here in Louisville, or certainly Kentucky, because we're in bourbon country. Why is that important, and why do I even bring it up? Well, partly because our distilling heritage is from the Scotch and the Irish. So had these guys not taught us how to distill, we might not have bourbon that we love so much. So when you're going out this week and having some dinners, or just, you know, raising a couple of pints just to cheer St. Patrick's Day and your Irish buddies or whoever, think about, you know, maybe having an Irish cocktail. I mean, a cocktail with Irish whiskey, or even having some of it neat. You know, it's very light-bodied. It's made nearly of all malt, so that's different from these big corn-based spirits that we're so used to here with rye and bourbon. And, you know, you got to study it a little bit to get some of the nuances and appreciate it. It's really cool. You know, in fact, I got a big bottle of, not a big bottle, but a regular bottle of Irish whiskey as a press sample the other day. It's called Glendalough, I believe is how you pronounce it. But it's a double barrel, meaning it was aged 3.5 years in bourbon barrels. You may not know that, but nearly every Scotch and Irish whiskey start off in bourbon barrels that we've used here first. But it started off in a bourbon barrel, and then it was rolled over to an Oloroso sherry cask, which gives it the spirit, that is, some nutty notes, some sweet notes, some, you know, different fragrances and such. And at 80 proof, if you tasted something like this, you may think, gosh, this is really kind of light, like something bolder. Study it a while. Drink it neat. Don't even put any ice cube in it. Let it air out a little bit and open up and sip it and enjoy it. And later in the show, you're going to hear from Michael Reedy from the Irish Rover. He'll talk about the differences between Scotch, Irish whiskey, and bourbon and why he likes some over the other. So anyway, that's kind of to put you in the St. Patty's Day mood, or at least St. Patty's week is what it's kind of turned into, right? So when I think about, you know, some of the cool stuff we did last week, I was lucky. I got invited along with my wife to the Red Barn Kitchen. Chef Reed Johnson, who is doing an amazing job out there, just being this country boy come city chef, tapping into his barbecue heritage, his whole hog barbecue heritage, and, you know, wrapping these great dinners around it. If you don't know Red Barn Kitchen, it's off New LaGrange Road in Linden, and it used to be Joel's Older Than Dirt, and it's now a barbecue-centered restaurant, Southern food, and there's a lot of fried chicken, things like that. And the beer dinner was paired with Country Boy beers. If you're not familiar with Country Boy beers, they are made in Lexington and Georgetown now, and they're fantastic. And if you'd had them separately, the beer separately and the food separately, you thought, yeah, great, both are you know, delicious. Put them together like Reed Johnson did, and it was a home run, just totally out of the park home run. When you figure out, or when you get to enjoy that, this guy sat down and thought, this is going to go well with that, that's going to go well with that, and to see those flavors elevated once they're put together, that's a pretty amazing thing. And we just couldn't say enough about that dinner. Maybe the best beer dinner I've ever had, or at least the one that I remember. I mean, I've been going to these maybe for 15 years now. But that was extraordinary. So kudos to Reed Johnson for that great dinner. Artisano, a sister restaurant of the parent company there, Ole Restaurant Group, which owns Red Barn Kitchen, did a spring menu rollout, which is a little bit of an overhaul. Artisano is a tapas restaurant, and this was originally designed to tap more into the traditional Spanish tapas. And Fernando Martinez, the executive chef over that restaurant and many more within Ole, has turned it a little bit more Latin. You know, I need to spend some time with him and ask him about why, but nevertheless, the Latin dishes that are on there are really cool. Latin in the sense of Latin America. For example, one was an arepitas, which means mini or small arepas. Arepas are a Venezuelan standard. It's a corn cake, you know, kind of like a tostone in a way, but it's cooked, and sometimes it's topped. Sometimes it's a little bit thicker and softer, and it's stuffed with cheeses or meats or vegetables or all three. And so the arepitas are something that just blew my son and I away. We got to go there and have dinner, and it was fantastic. The mixto ceviche was good, too. So it had, like, bay scallops, I believe, calamari, and some shrimp in a leche de tigre, which is actually the runoff. If you've ever made ceviche at home, you know that some of the fluid starts to come out of the seafood to make this, you know, sauce of its own, so to speak. And it was absolutely delicious. So those two are my favorite out of the several that we tried. Yesterday also, it's kind of a media restaurant week, it sounds like, right? I went to Lola, which is the bar above Butchertown Grocery. If you've been there before, you know what it's like. It's dark. It's kind of speakeasy-like, but they now have a separate brunch menu for Sunday, separate from Butchertown Grocery, which is below. And there's like a line of biscuit sandwiches, some with country ham, some with bacon and egg. There's some shareable things like scones, cinnamon rolls, really good greens, really good hash browns. We enjoyed all those things, and it was fantastic. It's a very easily shareable menu. If you're just up there to maybe have some Sunday drinks and hang around and get a, I don't want to say a belly full, but just have something to kind of get you on your way for Sunday after breakfast, but you know, if you're going to skip lunch, you know what I'm saying, it's brunch. Go to Lola and check it out. But do understand, you need to prepare yourself for the lack of light. It's one of the things that's kind of, you know, it's trademarked so far. They don't do much to light the space. I'm not sure why, but if you don't like that, you might consider that. So at any rate, I'm going to get to my first guest today, who is Michael Reedy. He is, as you probably know, the co-owner of the Irish Rover, and I wanted to talk to him about the drinking side of St. Patrick's Day as it relates to Ireland. He's an Irishman. And it was from County Cork, so he's way out there in the hinterlands. And I wanted to know what it was like there versus here and how the traditions have maybe even flowed backward toward Ireland and what it's like. So hang in there. Listen to Michael Reedy for a while. If at the very least, you're just going to fall in love with his accent. He's a funny, funny guy. So listen in, and we'll come back after the break.
head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
In the lovely Eat, Drink, Talk studios with Michael Reedy this afternoon, co-owner of Irish Rover, along with his lovely wife, Saban. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I look great. And so do you, believe it or not.
That's because your glasses are on top of your head. So, you feel like we were talking about caricatures before the show. Do you feel like a caricature sometime, Michael? Because you seem to get dragged out around, you know, St. Patrick's Day to talk about your heritage.
You know, well, it's a thing we do. I'm glad to be asked. I'm glad to be that people want to know about my heritage. It's the worst thing you can be in this world is irrelevant to what people know you for one time the year. But thankfully, with the Irish Rover and with what we've been doing successfully for the last 24 years, you don't become irrelevant. You become a cornerstone, hopefully, of the city and of the culture of Louisville.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about before you were the cornerstone of the Louisville restaurant culture and when you were in Ireland. Where exactly are you from, sir?
I was sort of a wobbly stone in Ireland. A rolling stone, if you say. I was born in County Clare, in the west of Ireland, in West Clare, in a little village called Kilmhell. I'd say we get more customers through our pub the day that lived in our village. But nonetheless, it was a wonderful, great bringing up. I was raised a farmer's son. I was never destined to be a farmer's son, thank God, because my brother worked me to death and forced me out of the place. Just kidding, people. I'd hate you to hear that. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed growing up in Ireland with the natural lands and the great food and the great produce and products off a farm. And really enjoyed it. Had great friends, played football and hurling with all my friends going to school.
Football the weird way, right?
Football the right way. Actually, use our hands and our foot.
So if that was such a great life, why come to America, Michael Reedy?
Well, you know, I'm like a missionary. You know, I have to go abroad and spread the good word and tell them I get an opportunity in these great airwaves and this palatial studio to tell everybody about this.
Palatial it is.
Oops. That wall is closing in me. But no, it's of course, you know, I suppose there's no immigrant like a true immigrant. And, you know, there's lots of folks in Louisville that are immigrants through wars and through devastations. I was luckily, mine was an economic devastation in Ireland at the time that I went abroad and came to America. And luckily met a lovely woman, lovely young girl up in New York, married her, came here to Louisville.
And started your lovely career right across the hotline for me as a busboy.
That's right, a fantastic, a magnificent busboy.
Whom I have known as of this year for 30 years. Can you believe it?
That's for sure. I cannot believe that either.
And we haven't got locked up.
We haven't got
locked up. How do we avoid that?
I haven't got the key to the studio door. I think we're locked in here. But, you know, we haven't got locked up, and I suppose we haven't tried really hard. But, you know, I think we've hard enough sometimes. You know, I love the times we met, and, you know, you introduced me to a lot of stuff, to American life and to American culture. And especially, I'd lived in New York for 3 years, and, you know, unfortunately, when you live in literally a fishbowl of flavors in New York, you get to think that that's the only part of America there is. Fortunately, there are places like lovely cities like Louisville and people like yourself that broaden the images and help educate people like me.
Oh, that's so good to hear. It's an easy city to live in, that's for sure. I love it here. But we're going to talk about St. Patrick's Day, and that's why you get trotted out annually. To come crack some jokes
in this, in our pony.
talk about very briefly how is it celebrated in Ireland, where you're from?
When I was growing up, for the greater part of my life, when I was growing up in Ireland, you would have a small parade in Dublin, a smaller parade in Limerick, a small parade in Galway, and a tiny parade in Cork. It wasn't the big event that it is now, because, you know, tourism has kicked in and has become an icon of the world. An icon,
so it has grown there as well, is what you're saying?
Oh my God, yes. It has grown huge. And it always was a national public holiday. It was mandatory to go to church on St. Patrick's Day, and people celebrated liberally, and we had a good time. We'd have parties, and we'd have people over to our house to visit, and we'd have some drinks, and then you get up and go to work the next day. You know, it was no big deal. But now, it's taken on a life of its own. It's now when people start to trot out figures about events such as, you know, Rose Bowl parade or something like that, and say what sort of money goes into making that event happen, what sort of money it generates. And this is the same thing with St. Patrick's Day parades in Ireland and the event itself, what the money generates in GNP. When you start to talk about like that, you start to take it out of the natural feel for a holiday has gone back for so many hundreds of years.
Right. So it's kind of flowed backwards, it sounds like, that the American influence has gone back to Ireland, and it's a big party.
Well, you know, you have to realize, Steve, there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent, not from me, but 40 million Americans claim Irish descent, and some of them take, and a lot of them take advantage.
Quite the paterfamilias, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, a lot of fun, though. It's a great place to go any time of the year, but, you know, it's especially festive at St. Patrick's Day, because, you know, Irish people regard America as their first cousin, not their second cousin or third cousin, their first cousin, and we're very, very closely intertwined with this country, given our past experiences. And Ireland was especially hurt in 9/11. It was probably the only country outside of with Canada and the world to have a national day of mourning for
American
victims.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, we should have a national day of mourning over the fact that we add green beer into the mix. Does that just make you cringe when you see that?
It makes me cringe when I get asked for that sort of thing. I look at the person dead in the eye and say, you know, I would love to do that for you tomorrow, but not today. Just to annoy you. We have green beer on the 18th and 19th, and all the rest of you, but never on St. Patrick's. However, we seem to run out on that day, but you know.
Well, you led me through a bourbon, scotch, and Irish whiskey tasting one evening for dessert, and my wife and I really enjoyed the nuances of that. I mean, especially the spirit of your homeland. For people who don't know much about Irish whiskey, just give us a basic summary of this great spirit.
Well, what we do at the Irish Rover, we have frequent tastings, and we call them heritage tastings. We have a tasting of a scotch, an Irish whiskey, and a bourbon. And they go on that in the sequence. The Irish whiskey is in the middle of the scotch and the bourbon. So you take a sip of scotch, savour it. You take a sip of bourbon, savour it. And then you drink the Irish whiskey and you savour that. Irish whiskey is the bridge between scotch and bourbon. Of course, it is a much finer delicacy than any of the two worthy opponents. You know, I've had my share of bourbon. And I like bourbon. Don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful drink if you have nothing else. Scotch is almost in the same category, but Brown-Forman has done a magical thing. Brown-Forman have gone to Scotland and bought three distilleries, and I've had the honour and pleasure of featuring all three distilleries at the Irish Rovers a little while back, and we still do other tastings for anybody that wants to enjoy them.
So tell them what they're going to taste. If they're comfortable with the bourbon notes of vanilla, caramel, certainly high proof sometimes, a little bit of citrus, and then on the other end of scotch, it's very malt forward. I mean, because all there is malt in it, right? Very balanced, very big mouthfeel, a little bit of smoke sometimes. Where does Irish sit in the middle?
That is a great question. I wish you'd ask someone. The answer to that is the nuances. Most scotches are distilled once, no more than once, and they leave a lot of what they call as scotch gall character in the drink. And most bourbons are only distilled once at the most, maybe twice. Irish whiskey is distilled three times. So it is extremely nuanced. And you are getting all the flavors of scotch and bourbon and the sherry notes that Irish whiskey generally ends up in.
Do they tend to be aged in sherry barrels?
Finished in sherry barrels. And, you know, we hope that the Spaniards keep their long, proud history of sherry making going, because once they stop, we're all in big trouble. But it's the sherry that gives it the notes. Now, there are many ways that Irish whiskey rarely, very few times do you see a particular age-stated whiskey. Like, you'll have some.
Because they're blended, typically.
Blended. And then when they're blended, and that's what brings out the real skill of the whiskey maker.
Right.
Because he has to get the notes right and the balance right. you'll find that you can have, you know, you can have, you know, three or four scotches, it's great. You can have three or four bourbons, it's great. But you can drink five or six drinks of Irish whiskey because it doesn't have the tannins and it doesn't have the unfiltered flavors or
right.
character.
As character.
Good Scotch.
Well, and it's 80 proof too, which is usually below the threshold for a lot of bourbon today consumed anyway.
Exactly. But you know, they're all three on Jibel, and all three are on sale at the Irish Rover right now.
Speaking of what's going to be on sale at the Irish Rover, tell us very briefly what's going to happen Friday. It's one of the biggest events in town, without a doubt.
Well, it is. It is. We call it the old Kjol crack beer event. Which means drink, music, food, and fun. We are opening at the doors at 11. We start with a band called Clannad. We start with a band called Cloggan, and which is the Irish word for skull. Trust me, all you'll see is people singing out their skulls. But
all below the tent.
All inside a tent, and we're going to have a heated tent if needs be. The tin covers our parking lot, and we have a food tent that will be serving various kinds of Irish food, fish and chips, beef stew, and soup, and potato leek soup. And it's a fun time. Got sodas out there for people that don't want to imbibe, and then we've got our beer trucks, and we carry 10, 15 different kinds of beers.
All Irish?
All Irish beers, yes.
Nice.
I think people are going to have a lot of fun. Then we have a couple of microbrews thrown in that mix as well. Inside, it's seating by reservation. If you've got a party, our reservation policy is parties of five or more. We seem to be pretty well booked right now, but we seat the bar area up until 6 in the evening, and then we don't seat anymore because it gets very, very crowded there. So we have a really good time this year. We have, in the first time in 4 years, we have risen our cover charge from $5 to $7.
Right.
I hope you forgive us because all our other pricing has gone up as well, and I think people will.
Somebody's got to pay for those musicians. Now, very quickly,
sure.
Just in the case they want to call and ask for reservations, what's the number at the Irish Rover?
The Irish Rover number is 899-3544.
And there you have it, folks. If you want an Irish experience on St. Paddy's Day, not Patties, as too many Americans, like I've made that mistake before, come to the Irish Rover. It's in Clifton on Frankfort Avenue. Michael Reedy, thanks for being in the studio.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines and Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So, we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And we're back from that fantastic interview with Michael Reedy. I mean, just his accent alone is hilarious, right? Funny, funny guy. So you got to go check out what is happening at the Irish Rover this Friday if you're interested in going to one of the biggest parties in town. Real tradition there. So go say hello to him. Tell him that you heard him on the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. Say hello to his lovely wife, Saban. And wonder for a moment why she's married to him, because he's a crazy man. But I can say that. He's my buddy. So this is our favorites part of the show. Not necessarily our favorite part, but when we talk about the things that we really enjoyed last week, or the week prior, just eating and drinking. And since Rick is out of town, I'm going to get to say two of my favorites in each category of eats and drinks. But before we touch on that, we want to talk about our sponsor of this segment, Copper and King's American Brandy Distillery in Butchertown, creators of delicious pot-stilled American brandies right in the heart of bourbon country. Got to love that, right? Courage. Lots of courage. You want to visit the distillery, though, at 1121 East Washington Street in Butchertown. Take the tour. Shop for gifts, definitely buy its brandy, and connect with its friendly staff. You also have an opportunity during most days there to eat, and they have a lunch counter outside. Not a lunch counter per se, but a place where you can buy pasties. And if you don't know what pasties are, they're like the best pot pies that you've ever eaten, only in hand form, and they are filled with with different meats, different vegetables, and it's really good flaky pastry. This is an Australian tradition that I've seen elsewhere, and maybe even an English tradition too. If you've been to Michigan tourist areas, you can see pasties sometimes, but just trust me, go to the ones at get the ones at Copper and Kings. They're fantastic, especially with a little brandy. So my favorites for the past week, they're kind of all over the place. One of the best bites I had was the blueberry scones at Lola at Butchertown Grocery. You know, scones can come out kind of hard. It can come out kind of soft. Some even try to pass off these donut-like bites as scones, and they're not. They are, to me, if you dipped a good scone into a cup of coffee, it might start to fall apart, which some may say that's kind of soft. Others, you know, if you left them in a cup of coffee for an hour, they wouldn't fall apart. That, to me, is a little too hard. The Butchertown, or I should say the one at Lola, is right in between and really nice. I like that a lot. So the Butchertown, I mean, the Butchertown, the blueberry scones at Lola. And the second thing I had, now that's going to sound crazy because it sounds like a small part of the overall beer-paired meal at Red Barn Kitchen, but the pimento cheese grit cake with horseradish was just amazing. It was this startling point in the meal where we were drinking a Country Boy French Saison beer, which, you know, they're kind of musty and funky. I like that a lot. And for some reason, that really went well with the grit cake. It was great. And especially, I think, because of the horseradish. I like that a lot. So see if Reed Johnson isn't making that regularly. And if not, maybe lobby for it. So my favorite drink, back to the Country Boy French Saison. I just thought that was amazing. You know, I don't know how much I would like that as just a sipping beer if I were sitting around. But it was an amazing food beer. You know, in other words, you want to eat something with it if you're going to drink it. You know, you can get lots of different Country Boy beers on the shelves here. I don't know about the Saison. Saison means seasonal, so I don't know how often it's out. But you can definitely find it on tap in Lexington on Chair Street or in Georgetown. They have a brand new brewery, which is much larger. A tap room, I should say, much larger and prettier than the one in Lexington, if you've been to that. But ask for the French Saison or see if they have it. It's fantastic. And lucky me, second favorite drink was I got a press sample bottle. If you say a sample, it sounds tiny, right? I got a full bottle press sample, I should say, of the Michter's 10-Year Rye. This is an absolutely incredible spirit. I got to taste this year's release at the Bourbon Classic a couple of weeks ago, when I did a country ham and bourbon pairing, or country ham and whiskey pairing, actually. And we were treated, you know, the 96 guests we had at the pairing were treated to this amazing 10-year-old spirit. Costs $150 a bottle, not something that I'm going to buy in any hurry. It's a little bit out of my price range, but to have that bottle and get to review it is a real treat. So if you don't want to spend that much, go to a bar and ask for it and drink it neat. I wouldn't put ice with it because it'll overwhelm it or just water it down. But it's an amazingly fruity, floral, oaky whiskey that you need to savor and enjoy. And just even knows it. It's fantastic. So before we hop off to the second interview, we want to thank our sponsors again. Harvest, among them. Mark on your calendar March 30th, which is their 12-person chef's table meal. 12 people only. It's in the middle room of the kitchen in the back, so you get to see a lot of it prepared by Patrick Roney and his crew, and they serve it to you right there. I mean, it's really cool. So it's coming from one table where they're fixing it, moves to the other table where you get to eat it. And I don't know who the guest farmer is going to be for that meal, but that's what it centers on. It's one farmer or one farm, and most of what comes on your plate comes from that farm that night, or at least the feature elements if it's like a cattle ranch or something. So definitely, you know, think about getting that, getting a reservation for that dinner. It's at 3-4-90-90. It's where you want to call. I believe you got to call for these reservations. You can't make them online for special events. So jump on that before it fills up. And secondly, also for the Eye Care Institute. Again, your one-stop shop for eye care, whether you have routine vision issues like me, or need significant corrections such as LASIK, or you suffer with really serious problems like cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, you name it, the Eye Care Institute is your place to visit. Go see them at 1536 Story Avenue in Butchertown, or call 502-589-1500, 502-589-1500, let's stress that, to make an appointment and make it easier on yourself. So our second guest, another Irishman, Finbar Kinsella. You may have known him as a chef at Equus, Vincenzo's, and for a very long time, Lily's. But Finbar left Lily's about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago to become the food service director and chef at the St. Joseph Children's Home. You can imagine that this is kind of a personal thing for him, and he has really taken it to heart. The kids love him, and he loves the kids, but he's still very connected to the local food scene, which is where I get to see him. He also is an Irishman. He's from Dublin. So he, different from Michael Reed, he saw a much bigger picture of what St. Patrick's looks like, St. Patrick's Day, I should say, looks like in a large city. And his take on that is part of what we talk about. And what St. Patty's Day looks like here is something we've talked about as well. Because, you know, sometimes you can imagine the natives get tired of the American caricature of one of the most famous holidays. So at any rate, listen in to what Finbar Kinsella has to say. He's a fantastic guy. He's very funny. And next week, come visit us again at Louisville's best restaurant and bar podcast, Eat, Drink, Talk.
Dessert? Yes, please.
I'm in the studio today with Finbar Kinsella, the food service director and chef at St. Joseph's Children's Home. Welcome to the studio, my friend.
Good to be here, sir.
So as you can tell by his accent, if you were paying attention, he's an Irishman. Did I butcher that accent there?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Shame on you.
The guy gives me no sympathy, trust me.
No, none whatsoever.
Nor quarter. Why did I invite you anyway?
That beats me.
Because of St. Paddy's Day. Indeed. That's why you're here. We're going to ask you about what the real Irish experience is over there, where you're from in Dublin. But before then, tell me a little bit about what you've done since you've been here. We know you're a chef. And heck, you've been here 32 years now, is that right?
Moved over here April of 1985, straight to Louisville. It's been here ever since. Everybody's always very confused at that, but I just enjoy the town, particularly now. Worked at Vincenzo's, opened Vincenzo's restaurant. Spent 4 years there. Worked with Dean Corbett at Equus for 4 years and almost 2 decades at Lily's with Kathy Carey. And I've been at St. Joe's for almost 6 years.
So you've kept your resume short since you've been in Louisville. Short for a chef any day.
Very much
so.
And
these days.
Yeah, very much so.
Apparently they liked you and kept you on. That's a good thing.
I kept my head down and did my work.
That's right. Listen to that, young chefs. Keep your head down and do your work and just stick around for a while. Tell us a little bit about, well, since St. Patrick's Day is going to be, by the time of this recording, about 4 days away. I'm sure people are making their plans, but what would be going on in Ireland right now?
Leading up to it. Well, in the last 25 years, obviously the Irish economy is very tourist. It's funded predominantly by tourism, or at least a large degree. Mm-hmm. So it is a huge tourist season in Ireland. I actually recommend most people do not travel in March because it's kind of like, if you can imagine, Derby Week for a month.
Oh, my gosh.
It's prices go up, hotel rooms go up.
Is weather favorable this time of year?
You don't go to Ireland for the weather.
Ever.
You assume it's going to be
not miserable. Even in the summer?
No. I've gotten sunburnt in January in Ireland. And that's the truth. 4 seasons in a day.
So you're from Dublin, right?
Right, yeah.
So what would you expect to see today? Well, if today were St. Patrick's Day, what would the parade be like there?
It would be very large, with hundreds of floats.
Macy's Day? Yeah. Thanksgiving Day at
yeah,
Macy's?
Very yeah. much so. Lots of American Irish marching in the parades, lots of marching bands from the United States. And just different floats representing. It's gone very corporate, obviously, as most things have. So you'd have lots of corporations funding floats representing.
But is it rowdy like we have here in the Highlands?
To a lesser degree. I mean, you know, Irish people are Irish 365 days a year,
right.
And the Americans are Irish one day a year, or a weekend, as it'll be this year.
Right.
So they have to get all their Irish in a very compact amount of time, so it can lead to unraveling.
What was it like when you were a kid? It wasn't quite that big, was it?
No, not at all. It's technically it's a Catholic holy day, so if you're religious, you go to Mass, and then obviously everybody's off of school, and there's parades. There would be a parade in Dublin and pretty much every town now. And you would celebrate it like a Sunday. It would be like a Sunday meal. If you're young, you would go out and probably raise a few glasses. But
it's not some all-night drunk fest.
It has become that now because the Tourist Board of Ireland has promoted it as a very good time to visit, to see the Irish being Irish, you know. And it's usually the foreigners.
Like a zoo? it's the foreigners acting Irish.
There is a lot of that, yes. And, you know, and as you know, with alcohol in large groups of people, not everybody behaves. So
absolutely. So what about, you had mentioned food, and that's why we had you as a guest, because you're a chef. Talk about the food experience then to now. Is it still something that's really celebrated like we would Thanksgiving with a big feast or something thematic?
Not necessarily as such. It would be treated as a Sunday meal or maybe to a lesser degree like a Christmas meal, where you would have growing up in my family's household, we would have a roast. It really felt like Sunday.
Beef or lamb?
Whatever. It could even be chicken. Wouldn't be turkey, but, you know, so roast beef, leg of lamb, just depended on what my mother wanted to fix. So.
Did any seasonal vegetable what did you trot out at that time?
Well, you would always have various types of potatoes, obviously, just to perpetuate the stereotype. and Brussels sprouts are always a popular one. Usually it cooked incorrectly, but we choked it down.
Overcooked?
Yes. As the Irish reputation precedes itself, culinarily speaking. So.
So it isn't. So it's neither a bacchanal or an appointment at the table at Valhalla.
No,
sounds like it's very humble.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, growing up for me it was. But like I said, in the modern Ireland now, it has been promoted heavily by the Tourist Board to be celebrated heavily.
And so what do the regular folk do? Is it still a humble thing?
I think it just depends on the person. You know, usually if you're young and single, you'll go out and you know, get fully refreshed, perhaps. And, you know, once you've got that out of your system, you just sort of carry on as normal. So,
did you bring that tradition into your own household with your wife and son?
I've always acknowledged St. Patrick's Day, but I don't necessarily feel this obligation to wear green and shamrocks and go out and get obliterated because I'm Irish and I can do that whenever I want. So.
Green's not your color. No. Is that what you're saying?
It is, actually, but I always deliberately don't wear green on Patrick's Day because I don't have to.
Is it sometimes a bother to see the American caricature of the not only St. Patrick, but the whole celebration of it?
It does on occasion irritate me, yes, just because I think some people use it as a carte blanche just to misbehave terribly. And it's, you know, oh, I'm Irish, you know. I mean, and that's probably partially true, but it doesn't mean you have to act like a complete idiot. So. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm no Puritan. I like a drink, but, you know, you don't have to go to the bar at 10 a.m. and then close it the same day.
Right. Is the color, do the Irish dress up in green on that date, or does nobody care?
No, you traditionally might wear shamrock on your lapel.
And that's it.
That would be it. Or maybe the little flag, a tricolor or something like
kind
that.
Kind of our derby pin or Pegasus pin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but you wouldn't really find, you know, people just green upon green upon green.
Or wearing, some of the guys I saw in the parade last year, like mounted horses.
No, that would not be acceptable.
Is it so? I got to say, I'm surprised that it seems to be, from an Irish perspective, a pretty subdued day.
It can be, yes. Yeah.
And we've just turned it into the drunken brawl here. As we do things, you know, that we adopt from other countries.
It's to excess. Yeah, it's like, let's make it bigger and Americanized.
And bawdier. Right, yeah. Right. Green beer, what's your take?
It's a very bad idea. it's not beer. It's not acceptable. So, ever.
What will you be drinking on St. Patrick's Day?
It depends. If the weather's warm, I might have a lager, but and I'll probably switch to bourbon as I do.
Not Irish whiskey?
No, not necessarily.
Not a fan?
I do like it, but since I discovered bourbon, I much prefer the local offerings.
You've served us so well as a chef in this community, and you've drunk our booze. I'm telling you, that's why we let you stick around.
Well, you know, I have to do my bit, you know. These distilleries keep making it.
You've gotta release that inventory for them.
This is it. I mean, and I was late coming to bourbon, so I've got some making up to do. So.
As was I. I'm 52, and I came on at 46, yeah, so I've got a lot of catching up to do. We'll do that together.
Absolutely.
What about Friday night? Are you going to be going out at all? I mean, I know, like you said, you like to socialize, and you like a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You going to avoid the crazies?
Depending on my mood and the day, I may go down to Molly's in the afternoon or one of the other Irish pubs, depending, but I might just go home. There's been St. Patrick's Day where I've done absolutely nothing, and there's been St. Patrick's Day where I've brought in the Don the next day, so it just depends on the mood.
What about Kathy, your wife? Does she steer clear of you on that day?
No, she enjoys St. Patrick's Day, and in recent years we've had a couple of parties at the house, and the weather has always been lovely. Look at the Irish, I suppose, and... you know, just have a bunch of people over and sort of act semi-bacchanalian in the backyard.
So. That's right. No driving, no risk, no nothing.
Not for me. The other people, they're on their own.
Well, per usual, you make it easy to interview you, Finn Barr, and I'm so glad you took some time to share with us today on Eat, Drink, Talk.
Delighted to be here, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.